This is Conversations with Candidates. I'm your host, Cal Halliburton, and
It's our pleasure today to be talking with J.D. Scholten. He's seeking the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for the United States Senate for Iowa. J.D. is a sixth-generation Iowan, born at Mary Greeley Hospital in Ames, and at three moved with his parents to Sioux City, where he grew up. J.D. was active in athletics in high school and college and graduated from the University of Nebraska. Following college, J.D. began a professional baseball career in the U.S., Canada, and across Europe. In the off-season, J.D. began a career as a litigation paralegal, specializing in discovery, intellectual property law, and trials. At 44, he's now throwing mid-80s fastballs and winning games for the Sioux City Explorers of the American Association of Professional Baseball as a starting pitcher. J.D. currently serves in the Iowa House of Representatives, representing the 1st District of Iowa in Sioux City. He began his political career running for Iowa's 4th U.S. Congressional District in 2018 and again in 2020. He traveled that very large district in an RV nicknamed Sioux City Sioux. J.D. characterizes himself as a baseball-playing, beer-drinking, Bible-reading, working-class, proud prairie populist from Sioux City. J.D., tell our listeners something about yourself they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
So I just found this out. You mentioned sixth-generation Iowan. The very first generation that immigrated here and turned the fields of Worth County in Hanlontown, Iowa, there's a small wooden cabin, and that is my great-great, I think, great-grandfather's cabin, or whatever the sixth first generation was. So,
Wow.
Yeah, I
It's
just found
so
that
cool.
out. Like, yeah, it's still it's a little mini museum there, I was told. So I haven't visited it quite yet, but my mom is very excited about it.
As you talk with people when traveling around the state, what are their most frequent concerns?
You know, this past week, I've heard from a lot of different people, parents who are concerned about their kids getting into this war if the U.S. joins with Israel against Iran type of situation. I've had parents worry that about ICE raids because their kids aren't or their kids are a certain color skin. I've had people worried about the water quality that with the water bans across the state of Iowa and not being able to drink from their faucets. You know, there's all types of things. I've heard layoffs with the agriculture economy being in a recession. A lot of things are hurting Iowans right now. But our message has been the same since I ran for Congress in 2018, and that's fight, fix, and secure. Fight for universal health care. Fix the economy so it works for everyone, not just the billionaires and the huge corporations, and then secure a democracy from the special interests and the billionaires that are putting their thumb on the scale right now.
So fight, fix, and secure.
Yes, sir.
Assume you're elected. What do you want to do?
A lot. So I think one of the big things that we need in Iowa is we need somebody to be a strong voice and advocate on the farm bill. Right now, the farm bill benefits the top 10%. And this is something Senator Grassley talks about. 90% of the farm bill benefits the top 10%. That has to be flipped. We need to work to help the smaller folks get off the ground and not incentivize this get bigger, get off the farm. I think that's one of the first things we do. Anything we can do for campaign finance reform. You see things like Peter Thiel giving $10 million so J.D. Vance can be the next senator out of Ohio. That's not the way that this democracy should be working. So anything we can do, make sure that this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Those are two of the bigger things. Obviously, universal health care. We're the wealthiest country in the world. There's a lot of things I'm passionate about, and there's a lot of work to be done, unfortunately.
Overturning Roe v. Wade was a dramatic change. What about legislation to institutionalize that so the Supreme Court can't touch it?
Right. I think that needs to be done. You see here in Iowa, it's not only just the healthcare access aspect of it. We're shrinking in OBGYNs across the state. That's a direct reflection of that. Like, to me, it really, when I was running for Congress, I really hit home when a town like Iowa Falls that has 5,000 people and they don't have an OBGYN. How are you supposed to grow as a community? And then that puts more strain on places like Ames and Cedar Falls and things like that. So, yeah, we definitely need to change that.
We still haven't dealt with a minimum wage in a way that's going to be effective.
Right.
Can we do that from the national level, or do we have to leave that to states?
I think we absolutely have to have raise the bar at a national level, and then the states can do the next what if they need to do more or not. The reality, this is one of the most frustrating things to me as a politician, especially from running in 2018 and 2020 federally, and then now running again in 2020 for a 2026 cycle. The maximum a donor can give raises with inflation, and yet the minimum wage stays the same. If that doesn't exemplify what's wrong with our country right now, I don't know what does.
Another item that Second Amendment rights and so forth and gun control. Can we actually do something about that? I mean, we've got military weapons distributed to anybody who wants to buy them. It seems that anybody 18 years old can walk in and buy an AR-15. I was in Vietnam. We received the M16, and that's an AR-15 basically, and it's designed with one specific purpose, and that's to kill people.
With the Second Amendment, that doesn't guarantee you to right to any arms. Like, it's already, we can't allow like tanks and things like that. I think the higher the firepower, the more you have to earn it. But I think this also gets back to my secure democracy from the special interests that dictate it. How much money comes in through the NRA and things like that to put their thumb on the scale in a lot of this after Sandy Hook, and after all these just horrible situations, that they just go in there and flood campaigns with money, and that's the reality that we're living in, and that's why things can't change. So to me, it's a much broader thing than just the Second Amendment.
Okay, so you want to be sure that money in politics is controlled then.
Well, I think that's a huge part of it. Yeah, absolutely. I think we need campaign finance reform without a doubt.
Okay, so wouldn't that require overturning a Supreme Court decision?
I mean, that needs to happen as well. It like I said, this is not easy by any means, but we have to do something, and that's the things that we got to be fighting for. What is that guiding light that we should be striving for? I think that's one of the things. I mean, you also have a lot of basic things, basic laws that we could be passing just to help protect folks, like low-hanging fruit situation, and we're not doing that as well.
Additional items we might do to help with safety and security, because it seems that's one of the things people are worried about these days.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of red flag laws that are just common sense, universal background checks, things like that, like just basic things that we should be doing that we're not doing, or there's major loopholes, and those are the things that we got to close.
One of the things that's going to be difficult in winning this election is money. You don't have a billionaire backer. How are you going to raise enough money to win in what's expected to be a very expensive election and
Yeah.
running against an incumbent who has had billionaire backing?
Exactly. And it's an uphill battle, no doubt. But this is one of those things where how do you counter money in politics? Because they're going to throw money saying I'm this or that and all this stuff. That's what they do with the money to try to negate me. Well, how do you counter that? I believe it's getting out there to the people. Like, there's no doubt we have to fundraise and hold our own on that. And if we can prove and get a movement going like we did in 2018, in a race that Trump, or in a district that Trump won by 27 just 2 years prior in 2018, we moved the needle 24 points and nearly pulled it off. And nobody gave me much of a shot when I first started.
Right.
And so This is not rocket scientists, but it's not easy at the same time. It's a lot of hard work. And I used to joke, but in the general election, it happened to be true. I spent more nights in our campaign Winnebago RV in Walmart parking lots than I did in my own bed. And now we're looking to do the same thing. So we're fundraising right now. One of the things we're fundraising for is to get Sioux City Sioux 2.0, get that back. And so this fall, we're going to have a massive 99 county tour. And just our strategy is similar to 2018, where we welcome everybody. I've talked to folks who will always vote for me and ones who will never vote for me and everywhere in between. But we welcome people into our coalition. How we counter it? Because when you get out there and you talk to folks and you go to where they're at, they trust you. And once they trust you, that's when all these name callings and things and everything, they're like, nah, that's not the JD I know. And so that's the strategy in our grassroots movement.
Gaining that trust, that seems to be a key then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's going on radio all across the state, going promoting ourselves, but also being accessible, being very transparent. I think that's a huge focus that and a need that we need to have. I think so many of the national Democrats, they want you to just be in a room and dial for dollars all day, every day. And we do that. We do, trust me, I do my fair share of that. But you also have to balance that with getting out there to the people. Because if you're not getting out there, people don't trust you. And that's what I see very much in Northwest Iowa. I'm the only Democrat in 42 counties in Northwest and North Central Iowa in the state legislature. So I talk to people who are not active Democrats on a regular basis. But I have a lot of folks in my neck of the woods that trust me and they respect me because we've had these conversations. They understand who I am. And I welcome them into my coalition as I welcome any Democrat into my coalition. I feel if we're going to pull this off, that's how we have to run a campaign.
So you got to talk to people
Oh, yes.
one-on-one, face to face.
As much as you can. I mean, I got to go across the state and I'm very much looking forward to it. I love the state of Iowa. It's in my heart. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't absolutely love it. Uncertainty in Iowa. And we need a direction. We need somebody with a vision. And that's ultimately why I got in this race.
Well, thank you very much, JD.
You've been listening to Conversations with Candidates with J.D. Scholten, who is seeking the Democratic Party nomination for the United States Senate for Iowa.